Qantas grounds its fleet in a union lockout. Progress 45 launches without a hitch. And Civil Air Patrol has to tighten its belt. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 31st, 2011. Qantas stunned unions, customers, and the Australian government Saturday morning by announcing it was voluntarily grounding its fleet and suspending all flights to lock out three unions which have been waging a damaging campaign against the company. The flight stopped on Saturday, and the lockout took effect this morning. Amazed industry analysts called the move by Qantas CEO Alan Joyce bold. Many predicted that if he didn't achieve the desired result, he'd certainly be out of a job. But first thing this morning, Fair Work Australia was successful in a request to the government to put a stop to both the union protests and the lockout and start the clock ticking on a 21-day negotiation period, after which any remaining unresolved issues with the unions would be settled by binding arbitration. The unions involved are the Australian Licensed Engineers Union, the Transport Workers Union, and the Australian and International Pilots Union. The major issue was union demands for guarantees against outsourcing as Qantas launches ventures into Asian low-cost subsidiaries. Since Qantas couldn't operate without members of those unions and was going to lock them out this morning, it shut down operations and grounded the fleet Saturday as a precaution. Qantas has told ANN it expects flights to be back online this afternoon. Before the startling announcement on Saturday, Joyce had just been given a huge raise by his board. If this bluff turns out to be as successful as it first looks, shareholders will be high-fiving in the halls. Stay tuned. Yesterday morning's launch of Progress 45 from the Baikonur Cosmodrome came off without a hitch. The supply capsule carries about 3 tons of food, fuel, oxygen, and supplies headed for the International Space Station. Yesterday's launch was the first attempted in the program since the Progress 44 spacecraft was lost on August 24th. Assuming all goes well with this flight, docking will occur at 7:44 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday. On Saturday, the ISS crew jettisoned the Progress 42 capsule for its destructive re-entry into the atmosphere, clearing the docking port for the Progress 45 spacecraft now on the way. The U.S. Civil Air Patrol is tightening its belt while the administration and Congress drag out the 2012 federal budget. CAP wants to ensure local communities that its search and rescue, disaster relief, air defense, intercept, and other critical missions tasked by the Air Force will continue. But if a full-year budget isn't passed soon, it's not clear there will be any aircraft available to fly those missions. An internal communication received by ANN indicates that one of the sacrifices will be, quote, all aircraft major maintenance. In most cases, the aircraft will be grounded if major maintenance is required. Minor maintenance will continue. Any minor maintenance that exceeds $500 must be approved in advance, unquote. All counter-drug missions, cadet orientation, and aircraft positioning flights, all Air Force training and evaluation missions, both air and ground vehicle maintenance, are also on hold. There will be no uniforms sent to new cadets and no materials sent to new members for the time being. The 2012 fiscal year has been underway for a month already, with continuing resolutions to keep government doors open temporarily. That disastrous-sounding hailstorm that hit the training fleet of Middle Tennessee State University October 17th hasn't turned out to be the catastrophe first feared. The mention of 20 damaged composite Diamond DA-40s had checkbooks worldwide participating in a candlelight vigil, but all but four are now reported back in the air. And those four are expected back online within the next few days. Diamond Aircraft President Peter Maurer explains, quote, there was much public consternation and speculation about the extent of damage and repairability of the all-composite Diamonds. From experience, I had a feeling that this would not be nearly as bad as was being speculated. There were only 2 outer skin penetrations, limited to the area of the spars, where the skin panels could not deflect to absorb the impact of the golf ball-sized hailstones, but these damages are easily repairable, unquote. Dr. Wayne Dornan, chair of the Department of Aerospace at MTSU, adds, quote, the bottom line is that the Diamond airframes suffered very little damage in comparison to the metal aircraft, and the minimal structural damage that did occur was quickly repaired. In comparison, the metal aircraft are going to be AOG for an extended period, pending repairs, unquote. Maurer says the company dispatched experts to quickly assess MTSU's planes for damage, airworthiness, and repairability. Up next on ANN, Virgin Galactic announces its first astronaut hire. A versatile FAA database app comes to the iPhone. And the FAA has a new website to promote reporting laser attacks. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 31st. I'm Paul Plack. A little over 50 years ago, a historic competition culminated in the selection of the Mercury 7 astronauts by NASA. After what's been described as an intense selection process with more than 500 applicants, including some of the best pilots in the world, Virgin Galactic has now selected former U.S. Air Force test pilot Keith Colmer as the first astronaut pilot to join the Commercial Space Lines flight team. Colmer will join Chief Pilot David McKay to begin flight training and testing, leading to operational missions to space with Virgin Galactic's revolutionary vehicles, White Knight 2 and Spaceship 2. Additional selections will be made as the company nears commercial operations. Colmer brings 12 years of operational, developmental, and experimental aircraft test flight experience, plus more than 10 years of combined military experience in Air Force spacecraft operations and flying to his new gig. He's logged over 5,000 hours in over 90 different types of aircraft. He'll report to McKay and VP of Operations Mike Moses as Virgin Galactic prepares to undertake powered test flights, leading soon thereafter to commercial operations. Colmer, whose aviation call sign is COMA, said of the new job, quote, "I am extremely honored to have been the first astronaut pilot selected through competition to join the team. Virgin Galactic is truly revolutionizing the way we go to space, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that," unquote. So what kind of resume did it take to make the grade? Check out COMA's complete bio in the text version of this story, dated October 30th, at aero-news.net. Virgin Galactic first said it expected to fly paying passengers in 2008. That's obviously slipped by a few years now. The company now says the first flight is likely sometime in 2013, but has stopped projecting exactly when. When the flights do start, there will not be several spacecraft making multiple trips per week as first envisioned, but one weekly flight, quote, "until we feel comfortable," unquote. Virgin Galactic reports it has completed 75 unpowered glide tests for Spaceship Two. Powered tests are expected to begin next year. But aside from any technical challenges, the company has yet to work out regulatory details with the FAA. An Australian company has developed an app that will bring the FAA's aircraft registration database to your iPhone. Wavefront Technology NREG displays information sourced from a hierarchical database, derived from information published on a weekly basis by the FAA. The FAA data is published as a flat file spreadsheet. Wavefront's software organizes this information into a structured database, accessible over the net from the NREG client app running on the iPhone. But you say, I can look up an N number now on the FAA's own website. Ah, but with Wavefront, once you've found a specific aircraft, you can then find details of the owner, and then details of all aircraft that owner owns. Or search for information about the engine in a specific aircraft, then find all aircraft which have that same engine. For each database record viewed in NREG on the iPhone, a single tap will connect you to Google, which will then return a general internet search result. NREG is supported by a website that provides product information, customer support, and a full user manual. You can get details online at www.everyplane.com.au. Remember the story of that TBM-700 that made a forced landing on a Florida highway October 12th? Well, the NTSB is out with a preliminary factual report that notes the plane had been brought in for its 600-hour service interval, and after that was completed, the maintenance flight was being made by an ATP and a pilot-rated second crew member. The board reports they checked the gauges and added some fuel to the left tank to make it match the indicated 108 gallons in the right tank, but didn't visually check the levels in the tanks. The PIC reported they took off from North Perry Airport in Hollywood, Florida, with the fuel selector in auto mode. After leveling out at flight level 280, they kept flying through multiple intermittent enunciations of low fuel and fuel imbalance, and then made an ILS low approach at Opa-locka, but didn't stop there to check out the fuel situation. Instead, they headed back toward Hollywood. They finally got a red fuel pressure warning light on approach to runway 27 left at North Perry. The engine quit, and they wound up putting the southbound plane down in the northbound lanes of the Florida Turnpike. When asked about the fuel enunciators, the PIC told the board something along the lines of, paraphrasing here, "Oh, it always does that." Nobody was hurt on the ground, and the pilots reported minor injuries. That was before they met with the plane's owner. And finally today, the FAA has launched a new website to facilitate the reporting of incidents involving lasers pointed at aircraft. The site includes links for reporting laser incidents, laser statistics, FAA press releases, and FAA research on the dangers lasers can pose to pilots, as well as downloadable videos. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood says, quote, "Safety of the traveling public is our absolute number one priority. We will do everything we can to get the word out about how dangerous it is to point a laser at an aircraft. These incidents must stop," unquote. Unfortunately, everything we can do apparently didn't include spending the $13 to register a short, memorable URL for the webpage. So, you got a pen ready? You can find the site at www.faa.gov/aircraft/safety/report/laser info/. I know. If it was fast or simple, we wouldn't believe it came from the FAA. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller passes on a warning from his Aero Medical Examiner that challenges the common notion of when a sport pilot is legal to fly. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.